Hey, welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 9th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 1. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is still 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook as well. Same thing, in-game chat, just search for it. All that stuff's at our website. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. You can watch us live while we broadcast. Go to twitch.tv/in-game chat. Again, if you just go to our website, there's a link, and just click it, you're there. You can join the chat room live while we broadcast at Twitch. You can find us there and just chat while we broadcast. Everybody who's in there, conciliator. The thing behind Scott still looks like either a fedora or a helmet. There's a file cabinet. Wait, you know what?
Let's see.
Oh, that is that thing?
Oh.
That's a fedora.
Yeah, Greg's a press fedora, right?
Yeah. Still got a tag on it.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah, I'm not putting it on that. I don't eat food that's in here. I barely put on headphones that aren't mine.
Yeah.
And I don't put on other people's hat.
Yeah, we've seen some of the stuff that was in here before.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just, you know, you do it for your health, basically. Welcome to the show, everybody. And it has been 2 weeks of downtime, of nothing much going on. Hey, 2 weeks of not doing the show. Oh, let me do this. 2 weeks and you forget what you got to do. Clean slate. Yeah, 2 weeks and no issues to speak of. I don't have, you know, I wasn't, I didn't visit a hospital since those 2 weeks. I will say, I think I did. I had my second sleep study done. This time, I had to wear the mask. Nobody cared until I put on the mask. Yeah, you do feel a little bit like Bane, by the way, when you're wearing the sleep study mask.
Yeah.
Although mine was different. Mine wasn't this thing that goes over your face like this.
I thought it was a full nose and mouth coverage on that
thing. Right. Well, it was a nose and mouth coverage, but it wasn't that whatever that thing is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to call it, but the one that does the full thing.
Yeah.
It was this. It was this thing that went under my nose that connected, that just shot air up my nose.
Jeez.
So it connected there, and then it had a little bit of a mouth covering here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that thing was too small, and it was pushing my lips,
mm-hmm.
and it was not. Yeah, I don't know. They're working. I was first time I did the sleep study. They went through and they said, okay, you stop breathing this many times while you're sleeping. Let's have you come back and do one with a CPAP machine,
mm-hmm.
and see how you do there. So they obviously the second time they're like, oh, well, CPAP works better for you. That's what we're going to prescribe. So, mm-hmm. of course, it's not that. Well, the CPAP doesn't work. I'm not knocking this because I'm sure people who work for these sleep studies could listen. Or even if they don't, people may know somebody who does. And so I don't know enough about the science behind it to really give you anything.
Yeah, first thing I'd like to ask is how many times does it take for them to suggest a CPAP? One time? stopping in.
No. There's a whole level of like, well, you stop in this many. If you only do it this many times, then you're sitting here. But if you do it this many, you're a severe case. Blah blah blah. Doesn't take much to get to a severe case.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say. How much does it take to? Yeah, what's the threshold?
I can't. I don't know what it was. Yeah. I go back on the sometime this month. I got to go back not to have a sleep study, but talk to the doctor who looks over all of your results and makes these suggestions and to give me all that information. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm supposed to get a printout of all the things that happened and took place so that I can just have that data and that information to figure out what's going on. But yeah, I might be on a CPAP here soon, which I don't know. If I can get some good sleep out of it, I'm actually okay with it, you know? But only if I got to get used to wearing this thing. I'm sure I will.
One that fits, first of all.
Yeah, no, it's really, really got to fit. And it's also got to come in at a price I can afford. So, yeah. I don't know. I've heard that the insurance that I'm on is not going to cover the cost of a CPAP. So, but I don't know. I'm going to check. So, likely not, but we'll see. Anyway, there you go. There's the personal conversation that I've had. Yeah. I mean, there's the non-gaming personal conversation to have.
Yeah, part of our charm.
Yeah, and I'm sure other things will come up because we'll talk about what we did over the 2 weeks we've been gone, the games that we played, that sort of thing. And I'm sure, as I normally do, I will just veer off into some other stupid direction. So that won't further the conversation other than to go into some weird other direction here. So, welcome to the new year. Welcome back to our show. And let's just start off with what we played.
Okay.
Give me a number of how much you played. How many titles did you, how many different games did you play over the holidays?
Three? One in particular.
I am one up on you by playing four if you count Destiny. If you don't count Destiny, guess what? I played three
as game,
well.
It's a game and you played it.
So yeah, there I know. You go. Then yeah, it would be one up. So you go ahead. You go ahead and run down yours.
Well, I played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto Online, trying to do the Kyle Perico heist, which is a heist that I've seen done solo, which I think was the point of this whole thing, a heist that you can do solo. You don't have to do teams to do. Unfortunately, as with any heist in this game, you have to buy equipment for it. And the first thing you have to buy is a submarine. Yeah, a submarine to get to the island that you have to go to.
That sounds like didn't you have to do that in the main storyline of GTA 5? Like steal a submarine.
You have to steal pretty much in every heist in this game. You have to have some type of equipment. You have to go out and steal.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a submarine. It was like this one man submersible thing.
The Kraken.
I remember. God, you know how long it's been since I played that, but I remember that.
About 6-7 years.
Oh God, it's been a long time.
Yeah. I think it was the.
It was one of the early missions of that game too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
When Trevor got back into town after discovering Michael was alive, so he came back in town and started doing some stuff, and one of them was getting that submersible.
Jeez, yeah. I can't believe I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
but for this heist, you have to buy a submarine and to make it. It's basically like maybe $2 million or so like that. But typically, sure. to make it worthwhile, you have to improve the thing. And to improve the thing, you have to buy all these parts like sonar, staff, spare vehicles.
Of course.
Yeah, all these types of other stuff. Basically, it's going to cost
you around.
Can't
make it easy, can
you?
Yeah.
Basically, it's going to cost you around $9 million to get the thing up to snuff.
Well.
Starting at $2 million ends up being $9 million. So if you don't have the income for it, you know, just go around and do something else until you get the money for it. Other than that, I played a little bit of, got a little nostalgic, played a little bit of Pac-Man Championship Edition 2.
Oh, man.
Started doing that. Seeing how far my score dropped on the online leaderboards because it's been a while since I played the game, but it's a good little thing to like decompress and just basically turn your brain off and play. See, well, I know you're trying to get a score and things like that, but that's basically how I relax with that one. But for the most part, the bulk of my 2 weeks off, I was trying to play Cyberpunk 2077, and I got to a point when the storyline where it tells you that there's a point of no return. If you go past this point, you
I like
can't,
those.
Yeah, you can't go back and do all the side missions and everything.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like them implementing in games, but I like that if they are going to have a point of no return, that they do let you know that that is the case. Look, you know, you go any further than this, you can't go back.
Yeah. So the problem was, apparently I've gotten to the point of no return way too early, because there's a whole bunch of side missions and things that I've missed and I'm backtracking on now that I'm trying to pick up. If I want to get my level up to max, I believe it's 50 on both street cred and level. And street cred got to 50 relatively quickly. It didn't take long to do that. But as for the base level of the game, I'm at 44 right now, and that's a result from going all around the map trying to find stuff I haven't done, which is a whole bunch of stuff, side gigs. I'm sorry, side jobs, gigs, and hustles, basically police missions. So I have to do all of that before I get back to the story missions. So it's been a while since I've been able to play the story mode, because I've been doing all the backtracking and the missions all across the map. It's also there's also something else about the game that got me the type of multiple endings and things like that that I have to work on. It's like basically a bunch of decisions that I have to make. I haven't got there yet, but trying to make sure I got everything so I can make the right one. And something else that I've also bogged me down through the game is that item management through the game as well. See, I'm playing this game like Fallout, and I've called the game Fallout Future.
You're playing GTA 5 like Fallout?
No, I'm talking Cyberpunk.
Oh, you're back on the Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
okay,
I was saying I'm playing this game like Fallout.
Yeah.
Basically, just go around, pick up all the stuff you can, scavenge and things like that, which I'm pretty much doing the same thing here. Problem is, you get a whole bunch of stuff in your stash before you realize it. And it takes a minute to sort through all the stuff to get rid of what you need and keep.
How many items can you hold?
It seems to be infinite.
Oh, really?
This thing has a whole bunch of space you can put in there, man. It'll add up on you quick if you're not careful.
Does it do anything like it does in Fallout, where it's like it weighs you down or something like that?
If you're carrying it on you, yeah, it can weigh you down. But
how much can you carry on you? And then how much is there? Well, let me take that back. The inventory system, is that something that, I mean, is it all the, is that what you're carrying, or is there some way that
you got your stash at your apartments or your place where you can rest, and you got what you're carrying on you.
Gotcha.
What you're carrying on you can affect you like that, but your stash that you just keep.
That's infinite?
It seems to be infinite.
Okay.
That's what seems to be infinite. But if you get a whole bunch of stuff in there, it takes a long time to like pull, especially on PS4, the default PS4. I'm like having to pull stuff from my stash, and it takes a while for it to get in my inventory because there's so much in there.
Yeah,
what's bogging me down.
I would imagine you might have somebody have a different opinion if they're on PS5, perhaps.
PS5 or PS4 Pro or PC.
Or on the PC, yeah. I don't know about the Pro, the 4 Pro, unless they switched out and put in some type of SSD or something. You've got an SSD in yours, right? Or are you running off of a...
I'm running off the hard drive. It's just a slim.
You're running
laptop,
off the USB drive? Okay.
Laptop
USB
drive. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know. Well, also the NVMe drive that the 5 has, and that the Xbox Series X would have, likely would mean it's a little bit faster. I don't know, because I haven't played it.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, like I said, that's what's bogging me down more than anything else, because it picks up quick. You can get a lot of stuff in a little bit of time. And then you have to pick up stuff because you need to constantly make materials to build stuff and get what you need, bullets. I'm crafting bullets like every other mission, it looks like. There's another little glitches here and there you still find here and there.
I'm sure. It's a glitch-filled game.
Yeah. But I make bullets, and when you max out your amount of bullets, it doesn't stop. I mean, it doesn't say you're maxed out on bullets. It just lets you keep going, wasting materials.
Really?
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything that says, here's your another pack of bullets that you have. It just
That's
keeps
weird.
On going.
That sounds like a missed... I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, there's a whole bunch of little things that probably in the game that haven't been found yet, probably. But
there was talk, and I don't think I have this marked in our news articles here, but I remember seeing it on... I think somebody posted it in our Discord for Destiny. We have an off-topic channel, and I think that came up, and somebody posted a link to their Twitter saying that they said what follows below is completely not the case. It's not a thing. They were trying to dispute it, but when you clicked on it, it took you to a Reddit post, which is always reliable, and they were saying something like there's this plan to kind of No Man's Sky the thing come this summer, where mm-hmm. they do not necessarily a re-release, but they put out some massive patches that fix so many things with the game. But again, that's you know, you read it on the internet, it must be true, right? So who knows? I mean, about this, it just does not feel, from everything that I've read, like it is, they took it out of the oven too soon, right? Needed more time to cook.
Yeah.
From what I understand, from what I can gather, from what everybody has said, this thing was not ready for release, but was seemingly forced to do so. Mm-hmm. Could be a situation like Batman Arkham Knight when they released on PC, and it was, and I think on some of the consoles as well, but mostly on PC, had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And they finally, it took them a while, but they finally got around to fixing all of those problems. Mm-hmm. It didn't, they didn't No Man's Sky it. No Man's, I don't know of anything that has ever pulled a No Man's Sky since No Man's Sky pulled that, where they, you know, promised everything and came out with hardly anything, and then eventually
later on
had like here is the 3.0 version, and it was, you know, it brought it up to what it was supposed to be like a year later. Not even a year. I think it was less than a year, but still, it was a good,
took some time after
release.
Yeah,
it was a good length after release where they got it all straightened out and fixed. So, and I don't know when I'm going to get around to playing it. I do feel like it's sort of like, you know what? I'm going to wait. And I really felt like I couldn't. I felt like I was ready to go. You know, I was I wanted to, and I was hoping to be ready with my PC. Redid my PC and was hoping to get a graphics card, which I still haven't, and was ready to do this. Although now I sit and I'm like, well, maybe it's for the best. I say that, but it's actually not. It's not for the best of it's not for the best of anyone to release a game that is still needing work.
Still needs work done. Yeah,
that's broken. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for the publisher. It's not good for the developer. And it's not good for the consumer. Mm-hmm. And then it's not good for everything that comes after that, or you know, from them for it.
Your reputation took a hit.
You gotta understand that.
Yeah,
I mean, their reputation took some hits just in the social awkward arena. Mm. With the way that they handled some things, and it was not a good look for them. But you know, I still have the game. I haven't played it. I have it on Xbox One, and I kind of want to switch that out for a PC copy. I still haven't done it. By the time that I do it, a PC copy will probably be at a price that it is easy enough to pay for, just for the fact that it'll be forever since before I can. It'll be a while before I feel like I can play that game with confidence that I am playing a close to finished version.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it'll be a while before I play that game at a with the look that I want for it because of my my PC stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe with the updates that they do with the Series X enhancements or the next gen console enhancements that they'll do, which there is no idea of when that's going to come around. Maybe I'll pop in that copy if I still have it, or maybe it won't. I don't know. Mm. Again, I've got other things on my table, and you know, I'd rather wait and hear from other players to know that hey, this is finally good. Yeah. And you'll get that whenever it does come around. You'll see the news stories. Hey, Cyberpunk is ready to play, type of thing. You'll get that. But anyway,
I'm expecting.
Continue. I didn't mean to derail.
No, good. I'm expecting a No Man's Sky type of turnout for this title.
Yeah.
I mean, too much time and money's been invested in this thing to just let it stay as is. Mm-hmm. So better keep working on it. I expect them to keep working on it. Like I said earlier about a whole bunch of glitches that I've been finding along the way. Other than for the most part, is basically during story elements, thing just stops and crashes all of a sudden. Performance wise, let's see. The most recent one was I was going down steps and I took the rail instead of the steps and the game registered it as falling.
How did you take the rail?
The rail, you can stand on it. It's a solid object. You stand on it, you walk down the rail. So I'm thinking I'm going to walk down the steps, right? Because there was people in the way. Uh-huh. So I just jumped on the rail, walked down, like I've done a lot of first-person games. The game registered that as falling.
Mm.
Because as the further I got down the rail, the faster I was walking, and then I hit the bottom floor, and then my character fell over and it said flatlined.
Hmm.
Dead. So well, I'll say, okay, no, not let's not do that again. Take the steps every time. Don't take the
again,
res anymore.
Buggy game, something that you wouldn't have to worry about if everything was fixed.
Yeah.
Possibly. You could have just found something that was just really weird. But yeah, for the most part, get it fixed. You won't have those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So GTA 5, Cyberpunk, and did I miss the third?
Yeah, Pac-Man Championship
Edition. Pac-Man Championship. Okay. Yeah. I didn't register because I was like, sure, a little side game. Yeah, you know. Yeah,
a little something like that. Mm-hmm.
A little side game like that. I was looking over, I guess it was probably Black Friday or something. I can't remember. And I was looking at those. It was a Miss Pac-Man cocktail table type game. But it came with like Miss Pac-Man and some other Pac-Man games on it. And it was a little sit-down thing. But it was from the Arcade 1-Up guys. And so I looked at it closer and realized it's still doing what the other ones do. Like Arcade 1-Up is, I think Arcade 1-Up is great. It's $200 for what looks like an actual arcade cabinet type thing.
Yeah, but...
But it's not. I mean, it kind of is, but it's small.
Yeah, it's like...
It's very small.
It's like a 40% decrease in size on this thing.
Maybe even more than that, actually.
Yeah, because I'm like, me and my friends standing at this thing, it's like, no, there's no way two people can sit comfortably on this thing at all.
And I mean, I've seen larger folks sitting down at one of these machines, and it's comical. Not that you got to sit down on a machine, but you can't stand up because, again... It's too small.
Yeah.
So, and so I looked at the cocktail table and I was like, it's the same ratio. Even though a cocktail table is smaller than a cabinet, they still reduce the size.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I would rather have my own, like I could just find my own broken down cocktail table machine.
Yeah.
Gut it, put up a new screen in there. Put in a PC with emulators and just go town, or do that on an arcade cabinet. You could do the same thing.
Yeah. Are there any blueprints or anything like that online for building your own?
Yes, of course.
So that could be, and that's an option. Get your own materials and get that thing.
Yeah,
and take the time
I don't know that I would build my own from scratch. Like actually buy the wood and then carve it and everything. You know, like cut it and everything else, and do all it and glue it and everything. Yeah, just give me something that's like broken for $150.
Yeah,
that I can you know
fix up.
Yeah,
a fixer up.
And I don't need the art on the side to look good. I don't need the art on the cabinet. I just need it to be the cabinet machine itself.
Yeah,
and then I can do whatever I want to it. And the same with an arcade cabinet. I could do the same thing. I think Jeremy did this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did this. He got him an arcade cabinet. I think he made it a main machine or whatever.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine who did that too. Took a I want to say it was the four-player Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cabinet.
Yeah.
Something with a wide base and a big screen for set for four people.
Yep.
He took one of those and gutted it out, fixed it up, and made it a main machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put a oh my goodness. I think he's got four digits amount of games in that thing that he's got.
There's thousands.
Tons of games in there. Yeah.
Because I mean, I could easily do the same thing and basically hook up my NES Mini or my SNES Mini or any of those.
Yeah.
Hook all of those up and then, you know, whatever. I could wire it to where you can flip on one switch and that turns on your NES Mini and you can play those, or the SNES Mini, you can play those, or flip it again to go to some of your other, you know, emulator type stuff and figure that out. Just get one of those Raspberry Pi things and just build it from there. A Retrocade type of thing. And
some
just build
of those
that.
In Atlanta when I went.
Yeah, they really, really could. You can get one on eBay if you got $1,200. Okay, I thought they were talking about that. They're talking about PS5s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought they were talking about getting one of those caps. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Those things are plenty.
The folks behind 1-Up, I mean...
Arcade 1-Up?
Yeah. I wonder if anyone remember any of them actually sat down at one of these cocktail tables.
Well, they do it so they can sell them at that price.
Yeah, but...
They go any bigger, then the screen's got to get bigger, the materials get larger, shipping gets more expensive, and so throwing something out there that's like $200 or $250... is apparently working for them because they're still doing it. They did a pinball machine too.
Yeah.
But it's, again, on the downsize of whatever. I don't know. I like, again, I'm not knocking them. I like the idea. Although I would love if they said, okay, here's the arcade 1-Up Deluxe Edition that is full size, you know?
Yeah. Actual size.
Yeah, like give consumers a choice on that. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, look, I remember looking up, this goes way back into the late 90s, I think. I remember looking up arcade cabinets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even pinball machines now. Brand new pinball machines that are coming out, they're in the $5,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
$3,000 to $5,000 more if you're buying some of the special edition ones that they release as well. So it's quite a hefty investment just to get an arcade of anything inside your home.
Mm-hmm.
So something that's $200, that's really good. And if you make a deluxe edition, then you can still keep it under, you know, I would say under $1,000, get it something like $600 or something. Maybe you'd, you know, you might see some takers on that, but I don't know. As it stands now, even if they did that, I'd still buy it, gut it, or at least see how it operates on the inside, and then do whatever I wanted to it, you know, bypass whatever and make it my own. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of dreaming and scheming going on.
Yeah,
basically, will anything ever come to pass with it? Doubtful. Although it's nice to think about. I was at family's house for the holidays, and downstairs they have a full-on pool table. They have I think it's just Pac-Man. It might be a Miss Pac-Man, but it's a cocktail table, and it's regular size cocktail table. And then they've got a pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
A pinball machine used to be in my house a long time ago. Now it's theirs, but it doesn't work anymore. I can't remember the name of the machine, but I talked about it before where just, you know, disassemble the legs, bring it back to the house, set it up somewhere, fix it. It's a little bit more of an investment if you're going to take a pinball machine and convert it digitally, because you need some big screen TVs,
big screens, yeah.
A lot in a lot of different places, and then you need to, yeah, it can be a lot to get that done. But that cocktail machine, I should tell them. I was like, look, if you guys don't want to do anything with that, you could keep it here if you want to, but I could make something out of that for you. Mm-hmm. I could put every single Pac-Man game you want onto that thing. I could also put any other arcade games that you would like to have on there, on that thing. So, I don't know. There's some ideas bouncing around in my head. Not that anything's going to come of it, but there's some ideas. So we spent way too much time talking about this. I haven't even gotten to that, and we're already at the break. I haven't even gotten to what I played, and we're already at the break here. So, and we've already got a call. Chris, you're going to have to hold on through the break. We'll take you as soon as we come back from it. We are going into this from a game called Monster Train. I don't know anything about this game. I just saw it pop up on like Wario's Twitter account for something. I was like, I don't know. I remember hearing about it. So, or reading about it in my news feed. I don't remember. I just, when you're trying to find, and this was the last one I had to find, when you're trying to find music, just whatever can come to your mind that you haven't used before is always a godsend. So, this is from a game called Monster Train. I guess it's the Clans theme or something. I really have no idea. So, anyway, take a listen to that. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cirque du Soleil. It's kind of the vibe this thing gives off.
Yeah.
Which, it's actually called Puppet Show. It's from a game called Iris Fall. Looked this up last night. Iris Fall, look, the art, the visual, the look of Iris Fall, right up my alley. Just in there. Just perfect.
What genre is it?
It is, it's puzzle.
Okay.
It's environmental puzzle, from what I understand. I watched some of the gameplay of it, and that's what it looks like. It's very little attack or anything like that. It's basically you're in a room, you got to figure out how to manipulate the room to do what you want. You can do things like become your shadow to, remember like Contrast did, where you become the shadow and you can walk through things or use the shadow of other objects to make a ramp and or to pathway or something like that. There was a lot of stuff with that involved. There's just a fantastic aesthetic to that game. It's amazing. However, now I don't know what it cost on. Let me look it up on PC real quick, because I can tell you what it. What was that? The dog's face. Where's my Steam app? That's right, folks. We're checking our phones on the air. Makes things better, doesn't it? Let's go to the store.
Let's see. Came out in 2018.
Search.
Okay.
Iris Fall. What we got? All right, it's $15 on Steam. And so, which is fantastic. If you want it on Switch or PS4, it's $40. And when I looked up a like gameplay review or something like that, the guy was saying that it's the length is the problem. It's about 3 hours.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I'm not paying $40.
Three hours. I'm looking at the screen now. It looks like you're running through an Escher drawing in some places.
There's that, and in some different places, it's got, you know, it's a different aesthetic to it. But yeah, there's some influence there. Just really good looking game. Like I said, the art aesthetic is what drew me in for it. So
yeah.
Let's go to the phones here and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Y'all have a good long vacation, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's always good for that. I think my New Year's resolution, I think, is to. I remember being dead set on like doing a show every Saturday. I was like, it's the one thing we do, and there's no reason to miss it, and we're gonna get it done, and we're gonna do a show every Saturday, and that sort of thing. And I think my resolution now is, you don't feel like doing a show, don't do a show. I think after everything that I went through towards the last half of last year, which hadn't been that long ago, it was like, yeah, man, if you ain't feeling it, don't do it. It's fine. You can't do that about your regular job, but this is the one thing that you do have that control over, to where if you got to get stuff done otherwise, then sure. You know, I was thinking about taking a few days off or maybe a few Saturdays off or maybe one Saturday off and doing a whole bunch of work around the yard. While it's real nice and cold and a lot of things are dead and I can, you know, do some work around that. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of exercising and stuff, and it was just one of those things you think about when you're on a long walk by yourself is that, why do that? So, and I appreciate everybody that listens, but yeah, I mean, and you guys are really, really good about, hey, sure, take the time off. We'll be here next week or, you know, whenever you come back type thing. So it's been nice to have that. So that's kind of a thing that I'm looking into. Not that we'll be here next week and that sort of thing, but just one of those things where it's like you have the ability out of the many limited things that you actually do have an ability to say, I'll just run a replay or something. You've got that here. So use it when you need to, and use it when you want to. So that's kind of where I stand. I mean, it's just me and RJ doing it really at this point. I have not heard from Matt. I have not heard from Nate.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the situation, I don't know when we'll hear back from them as far as wanting to come back on the show. I should reach out. Nate's a husband and a dad now. Yeah. So I don't think he'll be on the show much.
Priorities, folks.
They
probably don't
have very much time.
Yeah. And I haven't spoken to Matt in a while.
Yeah.
The last time I probably spoke to Matt was back when I had COVID. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last time I spoke to him, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, Chris, what's going on with you? Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, yeah, I had a good one, too.
That's
been a little bit longer and all, but that's cool. But so, RJ, you've been having fun enjoying playing Cyberpunk.
Well, I'm enjoying the story mode of it. I'm just curious. The story has pulled me into the point where I just want to see it through to the end. But right now, like I was saying earlier, I'm just trying to get my level up to max. And in order to do that, I've got to do all these side missions. Now, a lot of them are interesting in and of themselves, but they're short. They're just little vignettes of what Night City is all about. But I want to finish all that, max out my level, and get through to the main story and see how that ends.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about wanting to get into it later, you know, down the road and let them get everything fit. You hadn't seen any Batwers flying dragons, have you?
No, nothing like that. Just the stair glitch that I talked about before the break, that one. Random crashes during story elements. Let's see, what else was there? Multiple quest conversations going on at the same time. That happens because in the game, there's a tendency for any side mission you go to, there's 9 times out of 10, there's going to be another mission in that area. And if you cross into the area, it's going to start, the dialogue's going to start immediately. You get phone calls from fixers and things like that, and everything starts overlapping, and then it gets a little hard to determine which one you're trying to pay attention to. Sometimes that happens. But other than that, nothing really sticks out to mind other than those. Crashes and story elements overlapping each other and falling downstairs. Really.
Yeah, that was.
Or just a slow performance from the, like I've said, from the PS4 because of item management, having to go back and forth. I think it's just a power issue for the console as opposed to the PC and PS5 or anything like that.
But overall, if everything played perfectly, you know, it's definitely like Fallout and everything else. You know, I'd probably love it too. So I'm gonna definitely get into it down the road sometime.
Yeah, look, wait for it get fixed or get a discount or something like that. Yeah, like I said, it is Fallout. It's Fallout future, just with a lot more glitches in there.
Yeah, but speaking of cool things, I got. Have y'all seen that Replicade mini arcade version of Dragon's Lair that Replicade made?
Well, I saw the one you posted.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was that the same brand, or was that something else?
Yeah, that was the same one. Yeah, that was, I think Replicate was the brand name, or, you know, whoever made it. You know, it was one company that made it, but, yeah, that one is fantastic. It plays just like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller version of the cabinet, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like a 1/16 scale or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only, like, 12 inches tall. You know, it's pretty darn short. But, you know, I mean, it fully works just like the real thing. I mean, you can use the buttons and everything on it, and the music and everything out of the back speakers is great and all. I even hooked up the PlayStation 5, you know, with the USB cable to the back of it, and, you know, it detects the USB controller, you know, the PlayStation 5 perfectly, and then it works perfectly with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the amount of details that they put into that, that item is astounding for what they're asking for it. I mean, it's you know... the images in the marquee lights up. If you've ever seen the original arcade, it had a digital track scoreboard at the top of the TV screen. It kept track of players 1 and 2 score, your number of lives and your number of credits, and it works just like the same thing as a LED light up the marquee, like a digital display readout that keeps up with your score and everything. And that works just like it originally did on the real arcade. It has a miniature Laserdisc version, you know, of the player, the Laserdisc player in the back of it and everything. And there's so much details to this, and they only are charging $120. I mean, it's a steal for what all they include and the amount of trouble they went through to make this and what they put into the product. It's, it's a deal and a half.
Especially if you're a fan of the game itself or anything from Don Bluth and the animation style that he puts out. I remember playing this game, came to the arcades a couple times. I never really got the hang of it. I kept going for the bait. You know how, if you've ever played Dragon's Lair, there some things lead you to the wrong decision, going to the wrong set. Yeah, I kept falling for the bait in there. Yeah, I mean it was good times, man. And let's see a mini version of that. But you said it was only
one sixth
scale. It's 120 bucks, but it's a 1/6 scale. So yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It's like 12 or 13 inches tall. Yeah. Yeah, you can play it on, you know, with the joystick and the buttons on there and everything, and yeah, it's got an option menu and all, but like the main, you know, it must be running the main, you know, ROM of the game and everything, but just like that, you have to press the left coin button to actually insert the coins before you can even press the one player or two player start on the, to even start the game, so it's, you know, it's just like the real thing.
Yeah, that's maybe least place. Yeah, put the coin in, hit the credit and go.
Yeah,
and I see something like that. We were talking about earlier, Scott, about the arcade one-up.
Mm-hmm.
See, Dragon's Lair is a one-player game, so you could play it like this. But if it's like two players, couldn't be done that way. But I guess you can see what you're saying about $200.
I want to say they did do a release of one of the four controller cabinets.
Maybe the Turtles. I think I remember seeing one of the Turtles that was a four-player.
I can't remember, but it was still downscaled, you know.
Yeah.
Just go to Arcade One Up, and we'll just go to their thing. Officially licensed arcade cabinets. I'm glad they have them, but yes, I accept your stupid cookies. I know everything.
Yeah.
Let's see. View all their arcade machines. What do we got? Oh, they got the driving ones. That would be weird. There's Burger Time for player. There's Golden Axe. Golden Axe has the four-player setup as well. There's the pinball machine.
The original Golden Axe?
Yeah.
Four-player setup?
Yeah.
But there's only three characters you can pick from.
Well, no, I see four things. What is it? Golden Axe arcade cabinet. So, yeah. There is another one with NBA Jam.
Oh, Golden Axe is only two-player. I can't remember.
Oh, well. No, he says it was four player. I mean, you could play two characters. Two characters, player one, player two, but it was like only three characters to pick from. I mean, so if it was four player, what's.
So they got five games that are in there: Golden Axe, Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder, Shinobi, and Altered Beast, along with Wrestle War.
Okay.
Those are the different games that are involved in that thing. I wonder what comes in the NBA Jam one then. Hmm. Not that it matters. Again, I would never. It's so expensive.
Yeah, Jam and Showtime.
It was so small. NBA Jam, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, and NBA Hangtime.
Hangtime, okay.
There's Frogger. There's a Star Wars cabinet. That's a seated one there. What else do they have? Final Fight and... Do we have another one? Yeah, there's your four-player Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
And let's see, Street Fighter, Pac-Man, Rampage... And they've got the really smaller versions. And then there's their cocktails, which are, again, small.
Small.
They're so small. They're so teeny tiny. You got a lot of pinball machines, though. But again, they're not. Now, I don't know. I'd have to check out the size of these things. What you really need is it's best to really look at a picture just to see somebody either you know or just someone playing these things. Yeah, because there's no relation to scale in their photos.
No, there's not.
So you would really need to look at somebody using it to see. Now, the Marvel pinball machine they have sitting next to a couch, but I still don't necessarily have an idea.
How big is that couch?
Yeah, I don't. Again, exactly. It's not the best. Not the best of pictures to show size with.
Yeah.
Also, it looks photoshopped as all hell. but yeah. I guess you could look up Arcade One Up,
or like look a review.
Go to YouTube and see someone's live unboxing of that. There you go.
Yep, that's exactly right. Just to see because
that comes in handy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just so you could see somebody standing next to it and playing it.
Yeah, the only reference I got was when I went to I was just walking through Walmart one day and past electronics, and they had one on display out there, and that's where I saw the. Size comparison, I'm like, yeah, there's no way two people,
not size can get on that thing. Being a four-player game, and you could barely fit two by side of each other on one that size, like, four-player ain't happening.
Yeah.
Unless you could hook up USB controllers to it and then get away and get a little bit of elbow room.
Yeah. I think, I remember, near the tail end of the 90s, in the arcades, we had those USB ports installed on those cabinets. You could put your own controller on that thing. Then we had some tournaments like that. People brought their own USB controllers in there, sticks and pads. We had a good old time that way.
That's cool. I didn't realize I did. I got to that point.
Yeah, it was very, very few, and it was very few and far between. Though it was like maybe one or two cabinets out of the entire arcade had that feature, though.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had them like that.
That pinball machine is small, but that's not bad.
I think I remember seeing some videos of somebody that was taking that, and they used some like thumpers and other electrical devices that it made the vibration and everything a whole lot better. You know, it took the experience way up notch, you know, way up scale, you know, a whole lot better than what the out-of-the-box package was like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at a review on the Star Wars one. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, the size isn't really an issue. It's like a one-player game. Like I said earlier with Dragon's Lair, like Chris was saying earlier with Dragon's Lair, it's a one-player game, it's fine. It's when it's like a two-player thing, that's when the size becomes an issue.
And especially adult.
Yeah.
Play, you know, anybody our size, you know, shoot, the cabinet would be barely the width of your body, and then much less, you know, two people trying to play it. Yeah, wow. That ain't going to work.
Pinball machines are higher in price, by the way. $550.
Okay, double. Ooh, yeah. A little more than double. Okay. $550. Yep.
Again, though, I look at it and I'm like, that's not bad. I don't talk about the price. I'm talking about the size.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. It is, honestly, it is better than having a full-size machine in your house.
You could probably find a way to hack it and put more other games on.
That's the other thing that you're going with as well. It's already set up to do what it needs to do, so go ahead and just, you know, and get into it and do your own thing with it. Because it's all of these tables come from Zen Studios, which of course, you know, is what I play digital pinball with. And so this, that's not bad. It's not a bad thing.
You can look around and see if you can find somebody on Facebook Marketplace that may have one that wants to sell it. That's another option. Just look around and see if you can find one used.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. Not bad at all. Well, Chris, we appreciate the call, man.
Oh, before we go, Scott, if you got any time sometime tomorrow, I found something today at the flea market that's a record of something that you're interested in. You know, one of your collectibles that you've talked about in the past. It's a soundtrack to something you're interested in. You know, if I was going to give it to you sometime, if you wanted to meet me sometime.
Oh,
somewhere.
Okay. Well,
I saw this and I said, yeah, I know you like collecting records, and I know you like this type of series and this, and I said, I can't pass this up, and I had to get it.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, if y'all ever wanted to come out to the house sometime and check out the cave, you know, that's an option as well, but...
Yeah,
it's called the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, the man cave.
Well, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. And I'll get in touch with you. I'll let you know.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon, and y'all stay warm.
Oh, yeah.
We will.
We plan to. Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
See you now. Bye-bye.
If you want to get in touch with us, our number is 334-272-9228. We're coming up on the top of the hour. I don't know. I don't have time to go into everything I just played. And there is some news. Honestly, for having 2 weeks off, it's not as much as normally you would have. But
we've already had the holiday, so.
But it was the holiday, so things were moving kind of slow.
Yeah.
I wonder if all of their pinball machines are this. Let's look at Star Wars. Yeah. It says purchase from our partners.
I was mentioning something in there. Speaking about Golden Ats, AC talking about the Revenge of Death Adder. It's four characters in there. I don't know if it was four player, but I was remembering that game. I was like, yeah, that's the one with the centaur. One of the characters was a centaur. And I remember that was really stuck out at the time. I don't think anyone ever did something like that. That was a playable character at the time. Golden Axe was a really good series, man. I wish they didn't do the path they took with that and Altered Beast when they went 3D.
Yeah.
Kind of jacked it up a little bit.
Let's see what they got for arcade here. The sit-down Outrun machine, also $550.
Mm-hmm.
The Miss, is that Arcade One Up? What is that? It says it's a mini cabinet. It doesn't say that it's Arcade One Up. But the mini cabinet's like $150 for the Miss Pac-Man. I'm trying to find the arcade. There's the NBA Jam Arcade One Up, Wi-Fi enabled. Mm-hmm. Comes with a stool and a riser, $500. Mm. Cocktail table, $500. Mm. Just Golden Axe, $500.
The dimensions are not listed on the site, is it?
They are. They might be.
I'm looking through the.
I'm not good with dimensions, though. It's like, all right, put something next to it so I can get an idea of what that thing does.
Yeah, I was looking for the dimensions for the seated cabinet. Like, I ain't sitting at it. Yeah, and I thought who can sit at it, but like I said earlier, let's go to YouTube and later on to see what that's all about.
Yeah, the next thing I'll check is like eBay and find some broken cabinets or something and see what I can do. We got to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you about the games that I played and what's been going on in these past 2 weeks, and we might hit some of the news as well. That is all coming up as we go into this from a game called When the Past Was Around. It's a long title for a game. It's called When the Past Was Around. It seemed like it was a little indie thing. Might be a puzzle or a, I'm not exactly sure. This was Together Under the Stars is the name of this track. I think it came out recently for, I think, all platforms, I believe. Like I said, indie title, so put it out where they can to get them. Are you looking this up right now?
Oh, doing? Something in the chat room I was
Oh, no, never
to.
Mind. Don't look it up. I just didn't want to go into it if you were looking it up. So, yeah, that's what this is. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Wingspan. This is called My Realm. Wingspan is a game about birds. And it's like a card-type game. Mm-hmm. You know, digital card-type game thing. I've never understood the card game stuff. Like Magic and everything else, I've never... Hearthstone, I think, is another one that does cards or something. I can't remember, but I've never been able to grasp the concept and be good at it.
Play card, something happens.
I know, you know, and I know, and I tried to learn Magic once. I just couldn't do it.
Ain't like Uno.
No, I can do those. I mean, card games, standard card games are fine. These card battle type games, I don't know. There's a good one called Hand of Fate, but that's not really a card battle type game, but... It's still fun, but yeah, I never really got down the whole. I never.
It's just a matter of time of research and learning the rules.
Yeah,
that's all.
I know it is. With anything, you just need to look over it more and more. But it just could never hold my attention. Not just hold it, but also keep those rules in place and knowing of what's going on and the, can I do this or can I use this card type of thing.
I mean, so, you watch him, you watch me play it out like at the local comic shop when it was had regular hours before COVID. Yeah, it was a pretty intense matches or whatnot.
Yeah,
or you see them on YouTube all the time, but streaming of matches of Magic the Gathering and things like that. Nature,
I couldn't watch them though because I didn't understand.
Yeah, I understand that part.
Like
yeah.
When you know when the crowd would give the oohs and ahs, I'm like, why? What happened? What did he do?
Mm-hmm.
He laid a card down. What does that mean? Well, he laid this particular card down, and when you've only got the, you know, I don't know the rules.
Usually something like that, it's like the player was dead to rights, then he just turned it all around with one card, something like that, you know.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's go over the games that I played, because I haven't really talked about that. And I played more than just Destiny 2, but I did, however, complete the raid.
Okay.
Yeah. We were set up to do it. I think we were set up to do it the night I was going to be, the last show that we did. We were going to do it that night.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't, I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I had to bow out, and which was fine because I had plenty of people to run it with. And then, or did I? Maybe I did do it.
It's been 2 weeks.
Well, I've run it twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running it again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Back, hang on.
Still, are you hunting for a particular item or just something for the
right? No, I did it. Grimoire. I did it. No, I didn't do it that night. I did it the night of the 26th.
Okay.
So the day after Christmas, and then I did it last Saturday night too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do it this Saturday or tonight. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, ran that raid. Beautiful raid. A little easy on the easy side. Look, if I compare anything to Vault of Glass, which is like the it's the one everybody can't wait for them to reinstate Vault of Glass. I never ran that on the first one. Mm-hmm. I did join a checkpoint that was at the end so I could get whatever kind of triumph or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I did have that, but I never ran it complete. I don't exactly remember how it all worked, especially the last encounter. I don't remember too well about how that worked. It was confusing to me. And then there's the Last Wish raid, which has a number of different mechanics involving it, and it's seems to be really, really confusing to me. I still haven't grasped the entire thing on that one.
Yeah.
Like every time I run that one, which is not very much, but the times that I have, somebody's had to explain to me again, what do I do here? What do I do here? Please don't give me that one because I don't remember how this works, or I don't know. Just let me kill ads.
Yeah.
If I can just do ad clear, I'll take it. And you guys worry on the mechanics. This one, I am slowly getting to learn everything as we go through it. It helps that I'm playing with our friends on Discord and stuff and not a mm-hmm. random pickup group because they can be very patient and they can be very good at explaining how things work. I'm learning that one. This will be my third run tonight. And it's doing pretty well. So, with Destiny, I think I am pretty much complete with it. Now, I ran it a lot this week because Iron Banner was there. So that was a chance to up my level some more, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing really well in that regard. I still haven't hit 1060 as far as having things drop at 1060. I look forward to that. That means that anything that drops will be 1060 once that starts happening. But that has not become the case for me just yet. So I say 1060. I'm at 1260. But yeah, because that's as high as you can go right now. They won't let you go any higher than that. And once you're all leveled up, whatever. So it will, like, especially this coming week, I think. I don't know if they've got something in plan or in place to fill the hole that Iron Banner will leave. But as far as I know, this week should be just, you know, I'll pop in on the weekend to do some of my regular stuff and then run the raid again, and then that's it.
Yeah. When it's all said and done, what do you think the final level cap's going to be? I'm thinking 1,500, something nice and even.
The final level?
The final level that when they're done with Destiny 2 or whatever.
I don't know, because I don't know when they're going to be done with it. They've already got 3 years lined up. We're in the first of those three.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at where it's going, it's going to be higher than 50. I would say 2,000 at the very...
2,000?
At the least.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go beyond there. You know, it's just a number that can continue to go, you know, and we'll be in four digits for a long time before we got to extend it to 10 or not four. I meant extend it to five digits.
I know you like the game, but you ain't playing that long.
No. But I don't know how long they're going to support it. I don't know if they're done with it after the third expansion. I know Bungie is working on another IP. I know that it's not Destiny 3 that they're working on, but they are working on something else. So we'll see. I don't know if it'll draw me in, but it's been all right. I remember it being a real push to like get these things done and to really grind that thing. I have not started on my second and third characters, and I likely will not.
Mm-hmm.
Until they give me an option to skip all the stuff I had to do on that one character. If they can give me something that can skip that,
yeah, I mean,
I'd be willing to pay.
Yeah, back in the days when you had to play story mode again.
I know, and this one you do. I mean, there are some things that come along with you from whatever you did with your first character, but there's a lot of things that don't, and mm-hmm. you've got to run through that grind again, and I do not feel up for it.
We're not doing that.
I do not feel up for it. So I was like, I gladly pay you money. I will pay you real dollars.
For the first time on this game, folks.
I will.
Yeah.
Upwards of like, that's something I'd pay like 15, 20 bucks for.
Mm-hmm.
To where it just skips all that and says, okay, good, you completed it. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But only if you've done it, like you would have to do it on your first characters in order to have that option for your second.
Yeah.
Like you can't pay to win, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that it would be giving you a pay-to-win. Destiny's not necessarily a PvP. It's got that aspect, but no. They do let you pay to like level to level in the season pass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's 100 levels in the season pass, and I hit my 100 last week, I think. But legitimately. But for the longest time, and even on my second characters, it's like, hey, you can spend money to buy a level to get you through the season pass. And that's fantastic, but I don't know. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would pay you money. Real American dollars. Real whatever dollars you want. I don't care. You want digital bucks? I'll give you digital bucks. I don't care what you do. I'll give you your stupid silver pieces. Just to have that done. That way they're all caught up. I could run the raid 3 times on all 3 characters. I could use all 3 to really move, really get that loot coming in and make that jump to the level cap a lot faster. But, you know, I'm okay. That would require a lot more in time investment and stuff like that. And you know what? I'm good with the 1. I'm okay with the 1. So, but yeah, I played that, got through that. Destiny has been my constant, obviously. What else did I play? I played Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Okay.
On the PS5. That's been okay.
You said like it's just more of the same.
It feels like it is. It feels like it's more of the same when you look at Odyssey and Origins.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Or has there ever been anything in the Assassin's Creed series that made it stood out? Like the sequel had something that stood out, made it stand out more than the prequel?
Well, yeah, there was Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was just story-wise and everything. They just went out of the park. They knocked it out of the park with that.
Did it peak
Assassin's
there?
Assassin's Creed 2. I would say it either peaked. I think Ezio was the peak.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to include Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelations, just for the fact that you live out that character's life from birth to death. Through the span of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And Brotherhood and Revelations don't really change up the formula very much. Those were like, here's some expand alone type things that you can play. 3 was a kind of a downer. 3 was supposed to wrap up this great story and everything else, but it didn't do that well. There was a tough relation to the main character. Not that there was any relation to the other main characters, but it was a little bit of a tougher relation to the main character on this one, on Assassin's Creed 3. I can't really exactly explain why, but I never had a connection with this character. Mainly, it might be because you didn't go through his life like you did with Ezio. I mean, Ezio, they gave us a character. We went through birth and death with this guy.
Is it like, it would it be anything?
Connor, it wasn't the same.
Would it be anything compared to like Metal Gear? You've been playing with Snake all this time, and suddenly you're playing with Raiden?
I'd have to play Metal Gear to tell you.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was thinking of. You know,
like, I played MGS5.
Okay.
and I played whatever the other, I say five, was it four? No, it was four, and then I played some of five.
Yeah.
But I never touched, I think I watched more of the original Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
I think a friend of mine, Ben, was living with me at the time, and he had the PlayStation, and so I would watch him play mm-hmm. that. I never did, or Jeremy or somebody, I don't know, they were playing a lot of that, but...
Basically, the point is an established character, and then the sudden change, and you're like, okay.
I guess a sudden change. You kind of knew the change was coming, mm-hmm. you know, but there was a disconnect,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it was more of a disconnect with the game. Maybe that's more in the game than it was the character. But anyway, it was supposed to be this nice, like, wrap up all this stuff, and it not only did it not wrap it up in a convincing way, I think it tried to. But it didn't do it well enough. They didn't pull off that execution very well. They had built this great peak of storytelling with the old civilization and Desmond and the Templars and everything. You think you're going to come to this climactic conclusion, and it really doesn't. It just doesn't. It was probably not in success was it considered a failure, but in love from the public, I suppose, probably considered a failure in that regard.
Mm.
Then there was Redemption with Black Flag. So, you know, you kind of put everything aside and said, okay, fine, they failed on three, but what are they doing with four, with the Black Flag and the pirate stuff and everything else? And they really knocked it out of the park with Black Flag. And they kind of redeemed themselves. Not so much that I can't forget what they did with Assassin's Creed 3, but enough to say that, all right, I'll put that, I'll just kind of wash that away from my head, and we'll mm-hmm. start here with four and go through it. And there were still some problems with that, too, as far as them still trying to make this connection with the outside world type of thing. I think they've done better with those, with Origins and Odyssey and now Valhalla. Mm-hmm. And I'm only just kind of getting into that. So there's that aspect of the combat. I don't know. There's very little stealth. I hate that. I miss what Assassin's Creed was. And I think that deviated... I honestly think that deviated around 2 or somewhere around 2. But it was okay when they did it there because, I don't know, everything really worked. But I still miss what Assassin's Creed 1 was. Assassin's Creed 1 was you getting an idea of who your target was or where your target might be. And then you finding out pieces of that person so you can get a better idea as to who they are amongst that crowd in that area. And then making your way through the crowd or through the, you know, being that stealthy so you can get in, do the kill, and then get out. Poison the drink. Very Hitman-esque.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe there's an influx of, maybe there's a generation of gamers who don't care for that style of play. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, they did change it up. They changed it up with these past three games. They've made mm-hmm. it. They made it a lot different. And honestly, in the court of public opinion, it's for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've read, there are more people saying they love this Assassin's Creed, Origins, Odyssey, Valhalla, with very few people saying, "Oh, I miss the old formula."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's that. So I have played that on PS5. Yes, it loads fast. No, I really haven't experienced any bugs. But I also have it on PC because I got it free with my processor, I think.
Hmm.
But I really, I wanted it on PS5 because I didn't want to sit in front of my PC. I wanted to sit, watch it on the big screen and play it in 4K and everything else that was going on. So,
yeah.
So I picked it up for the PS5 and I played that. The cross save is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice to have because I can play it on PC. And then I can save and then pull it right back up on my PS5 or vice versa. You know, change that. What else did I play? Spider-Man, Miles Morales.
Okay.
This was a game, again, you can go back and look at me talking about the reveal of the PS5 and being like, what was it with the Spider-Man game? I wasn't really downing it, but I was just sort of saying, of course they would do another Spider-Man game. But this has got to be, in the amount of time for development, it's got to be a very small type of game. And it can't be too much different than what they used in the other Spider-Man game. They didn't rebuild New York from the ground up again for this. They just took what they had and made some enhancements with what the system could do.
Yeah.
And so I really wasn't expecting much to be different. And to be honest, there isn't a whole lot different with it when you strip down to the basics of it. It's still the same game, but the smallness of it, whether this is on Insomniac's side, the developers of saying, here's how much time we have to do this, let's do this, or whether it was just an idea of let's cut the filler and just give them what they want, they delivered. Mm-hmm. Because it took out all of these dumb little things that the original Spider-Man game did. And there wasn't a lot of dumb little things the original one did, but there was a lot of padding in that game. A lot of let's extend it out with these other missions and things that are mm-hmm. part of the story. Like you had to play as Mary Jane once, and then you had to play as Miles a few times.
Yeah.
You had to play as Peter Parker without your powers type stuff. There was a lot of that. And
the sneaking and stealth stuff.
You didn't need that. You didn't need it. So anyway, I'm enjoying. It's really great. Fast, uber fast. I've done the fast travel stuff, and it's just clicking the button to play after the game. I mean, clicking the button from the PS5 menu to get into the game takes less than 5 seconds. It is really, really fast. And that's really nice to see in comparison. And then, I played Fuser on my Xbox. That is the Harmonix game.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a video game version of Drop Mix.
Okay, yeah.
But for some reason, I prefer Drop Mix. I got that game. I got Fuser. I played it, and I was just, I'm not liking this.
Does the music not blend together as well as it did on Drop Mix?
I don't know. There's timing involved.
Okay.
Like, you know, you got to drop on the downbeat or on the upbeat or whatever it is.
Oh, and like so DDR, much other than any other. Like yeah, you know. Game. You got to hit something on the beat
or
off the beat.
Yeah, but you've got to do it. And I don't know. I may have to go back and do some calibration on the thing because I kept doing that. And I was like, I'm not hitting it. I swear it looks like I'm doing it, but I'm not hitting it. And so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was it did not give me a good first impression on playing it. Mm. I was excited for it, but just because Drop Mix was so good.
Yeah.
But there was not a good, wasn't up on that. And then what else? Did I play anything else on PC? I didn't. Oh, the best, I will tell you this. The best PS5 launch title, Ghosts of Tsushima, whatever. I know, I keep screwing it up. Anyway, Ghost of Tsushima. Did I get it right that time?
No.
It's Sue, not Shu.
Sue.
Tsushima.
She.
Ghost of Tsushima.
There you go.
Ghost of Tsushima. It's the ghost. It's not plural, though. It's not ghosts. Mm-hmm. It's just Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. From thenceforth, we'll be just called Ghost. Ghost, Casper Sushi, that's a good one. Ghost is the best looking PS5 title that I've seen. Beats out Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I must have played Spider-Man for a long time. Spider-Man is a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. But when I put in Ghost and just played that, and I'm not very far into it.
Let me guess, the field of flowers when he runs through on his horse.
I mean, I've only gotten to the point where I can move around in the fields.
Okay, so haven't seen the opening intro, opening credits go through on the screen yet.
I have. I think I have.
So you saw the part where he was on the horse back and like riding through that field of flowers, where he leaned off the side and grazed his hands across the tops of buds.
Did
going
I?
Through.
I don't remember that.
It's like the opening of a movie.
Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima, and he's riding on the horse, and the camera angles on his back, and you see him reaching down for the flowers as he's riding on the horse. That was one of those signature spotlight.
I may not be there yet.
Moments.
After the fight that you're supposed to lose.
Okay.
And then, you know, what did I do after that? I remember having waypoints on the map, and it was like, go here, and I think I did do a run through, you know, set my waypoint, got on my horse and said, go there. And it mm-hmm. followed it to where it needed to be, mm-hmm. which is good. I'm glad that. So, I mean, and by the way, even just with that little bit of time of spending with Ghosts, not only is it the best PS5 launch title, but it's the best Assassin's Creed game that I've played in a long time. And I hate to say that while I'm still playing Valhalla to tell you that, but it feels more Assassin's Creed-iness than Assassin's Creed does.
Well, from the bulk of the game, you just, it is. I mean, he's transitioning from samurai to ninja type battle. And ninjas involve stealth and assassination, things like that.
Again, I'm very, very early in the game, so mm-hmm. I don't wanna say yet, but the thing is beautiful. Mm-hmm. That thing is just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah, well, the part I was mentioning about running through the fields, I mean, you're gonna see bunch of scenery like that mm-hmm. throughout the game. I mean, it just doesn't stop. You're gonna see beautiful spot after beautiful spot after beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the duels, where the duels take place. Pay attention to the surrounding area around there. It's like a postcard quality. I mean, it's very beautiful areas.
Duels don't seem that hard. It seems to be. I mean, maybe it'll get tougher as I go on. But the duels, the duels I was pulling off, they were still giving me prompts of like hold down your thing, and then of course as soon as they attack, let go, and that was like okay, that's not hard
mm-hmm.
to do. I was led to believe that duels were like special moments, but
okay, duels are standoffs.
I guess they're standoffs.
Standoffs are the ones that you talk where you hold the button and then mm-hmm. and then let go. Yeah. It gets progressively harder. The enemies get smarter as you get further in the game.
Duels are different?
Duels are like, they'll tell you it'll tell you it's a duel. It's have this big vertical banner in the thing that says duel at location.
Uh-huh.
And it's a one-on-one battle with a powerful enemy. You're not taking this person down in one shot.
Oh,
it's an actual straight-up fight.
Okay.
Straight-up sword fight.
Gotcha.
In that area. Yeah.
Well, I haven't done those yet. Which, again, early on in the game. A great-looking game, though. Great-looking game. Mm-hmm. So there is what I played. I don't know if I've left something out. I'm trying to think if I've... I think that's all I played. I don't even think... I downloaded...
You were done with Last of Us 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you were done with that one. Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think I don't remember downloading anything off on my Xbox, on the Series X or on the PS5. And I know I didn't buy anything. I got a bunch of free games from the Epic Games Store that they mm-hmm. were doing. But I actually didn't buy anything off of their sale, which sucks because I meant to go back and get Disco Elysium. And there was a couple of other games that I was really quite interested in that I could get at a cheap price, and I never did.
I'm still thinking about Chicken Police, actually.
Chicken Police.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't buy that either.
Yeah.
All right, we're at our next break, and we haven't even covered a single bit of news. We've just been chatting it
up.
I was going to say something else, but we've just been chatting it up.
Yeah.
So let's take our break here. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat here. This is from a game that I was looking at buying. It was called Airborne Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
This is a city builder in the sky. Basically, you have floating cities. And you can build these different buildings on these flotillas or whatever they're called. But you don't want to, you got to balance it out because you don't want to, make one side heavier than the other side.
Right.
You got to keep it nice and balanced and build and all this other stuff that I could tell. That's what I could tell. It looks really, really cool. So this is music from that. It's called Tapestry. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. can't find a good time to jump in. It's that great. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. You're listening to music here from Destiny 2. This, I want to say I may have used this before, but maybe not. I don't remember. However, I loved it when it played in the raid. And that's where this music comes from. It comes from the raid. There's a moment where your character goes out into space, and there's just this beauty. It's just this, I don't know. It's rare that I get highlights in a game that I've been playing for 7 years now. 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, been a minute, yeah.
It's rare to come back to something after that long and say, yep, there was this amazing part in this game, when you've been doing it for that many years. When you've been around for that many years, it's hard to put amazing parts in the games like that. This one was. It was subtle. It was, you're platforming basically through this area, and it's not really a tough platform. It's in space, so the sound is muted. Your jumps are longer. You know, you have a more of a floaty feel to your jumps because you have that little bit of a lack of gravity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Firing weapons, they sound muffled, muzzled, basically.
Dead space.
Yeah, and it's, which you don't fire your weapons that much. But in a game that is very, do this, do that, wash your hands, do it again. Do that, wash your hands, do it again. Do that, week in, week out. This is a highlight. And when it first hits you, it's really good. It's one of those things. In fact, they did it, and other people have suggested doing it. But the group I was with said, hey, this next part that we're going into after we complete that boss, it's like, hey, you should mute us. Follow one of these guys through it just so you can get through it, but don't listen to us. Listen to the dialogue. Listen to the music, and go through it. And which is exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. And I was. You just heard the whole thing. It's called Deepstone Lullaby. The name of the raid is Deepstone Crypt, and this is Deepstone Lullaby. And just really, really good. Kudos, bravo to the composers that did that. It's fantastic. So, anyway. Last little segment here. We never really got into the news. I suppose whatever the news is. Some of the stuff I did want to go over, but we'll go over some of the, what do we got? Games with gold titles for January. Little Nightmares, Dead Rising. Wow.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, the original.
Okay. Yeah. Is that right? Let me look again. It doesn't say what the... Huh.
Just says a Dead Rising game? That?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
It just says Dead Rising. I mean, it shows cover art for the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Little Nightmares, Dead Rising, King of Fighters 13,
mm-hmm.
and a game called Breakdown from the original Xbox. So, those are your January games with gold. Mm-hmm. We also have your PlayStation Plus games for January that were announced. That is you look through it. Just give me the list. Why you gotta be? Just put a list and then be done with it. Why do you have to do all this? I really articles. Okay, so here we go.
It's why milk is in the back corner of every grocery store.
I know.
That's why.
Yeah. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is available. Greedfall is available. And...
Wasn't that recent?
Greedfall? No, you're thinking of Godfall.
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 Okay, no, Greedfall was like that Victorian age, like... something game, wasn't it? I'm going to look it up.
Oh, no, I'm looking it up now. It's an RPG.
Greedfall?
Yeah. I'm looking here, and I don't know. You'll have to look that up for yourself.
Okay, yeah, September of 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been out a while.
Been out a minute, yeah.
Yeah. And then Maneater for PS5, the shark game.
The shark game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to go pick those up. Polygon, by the way, did a nice little write-up of, they took all the free games that PlayStation gave away for 2020, and they took all the free games that Xbox gave away for 2020, mm-hmm. and just talked about, hey, here's what you got, and this is, you know, the state of the year in review for your free games, if you're Gold or PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
So, that was a nice little article.
May as well pick up on it, and some of these games, you have to be Plus or Gold to get some of the features to it.
Yeah, Steam had Game of the Year, which was Red Dead Redemption 2. They also, Valve also released their top-selling games of 2020 on Steam. And if enough things will stop popping up on this website, GameSpot, I hate you. Steam's top-grossing games of 2020. Among Us, Counter-Strike Ghost, Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny 2, Doom Eternal, Dota 2, Fall Guys, Monster Hunter World, PUBG, Rainbow Six Siege, and Red Dead Redemption 2. That was the platinum. The gold, and I don't know what that means, these different things. Sea of Thieves, Warframe, Elder Scrolls Online, Phasmophobia, Mountain Blade 3, Crusader Kings 3, Civ 4, Civ 6, Borderlands 3, Baldur's Gate 3, and the Master Chief Collection. Dead by Daylight is in there as well. For the top-selling games on Steam.
Warframe, you know, that game keeps popping up, man. It's just something I've got to finish.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fantastic. I'm just
concerned I'm so far behind in that thing that it's, I'm not going to get as much enjoyment out of it.
There was Awesome Games Done Quick held not too long ago, and 2 world records were broken for Sonic. And they were broken back-to-back. I'm about to have to sneeze. Hang on.
Mm. Let it rip.
Yeah, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excuse me again. Mm-hmm. It was an Android port of Sonic the Hedgehog from 2013. Mm. That one got a world record. And then the other world record was for... Sonic 3, Angel Island Revisited. I think
is that another Android game?
It's a fan game.
Okay.
It's a fan game of the PC version of Sonic and Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles.
Okay.
Called Sonic 3, Angel Island Revisited.
Okay.
And then that I don't know how you pronounce his name. It's Argic. A-R-G-I-C-K. That guy, I could probably watch his speed runs forever. The commentary that he gives while he's doing it is fantastic. He's telling you all about, he's going about a mile a minute, but he's telling you about everything that he's doing and what needs to be done to make the next thing and all this other stuff. Fantastic to watch. Just unbelievable. And that he keeps that energy going for 50 minutes or more to get through the game. He got through Sonic Mania. No world record broken there, I don't think, but amazing run. And then there's my graphics card problem, of which I still haven't picked up a new 3080. There's rumor of a 3080 Ti or a 3080 Super or a bunch of other different models due out either later this month or by March. The price went up. And it wasn't...
About how much?
About $250. It's about $250. It's around $150 to $250, depending on the brand of the model and everything else. Mm-hmm. The price went up. Had nothing to do with scalpers. It has to do with graphics cards, among other things, had an exemption from a tariff that had been placed.
Had.
The exemption expired.
Oh, okay.
On January the 1st, the exemption had expired, and so these prices went up. By like $200. Mm. Yeah. So now something that was going to cost me about $700 now is going to cost me about $850 to $900. again, when they have it in stock, if that's the case. So I don't know. Again, I sit on the sidelines thinking, well, okay, maybe it's good I didn't have Cyberpunk, or maybe it's good that, I don't know. I wish I could have gotten, you know, looking at it now, I wish I could have gotten the cards when they were cheaper now, mm-hmm. but you couldn't. So now it's like, eh, you gotta wait. I'm still having to wait. Even with the price spike, they're still hard to get.
Yeah.
So, you got nothing. Look, PlayStations and Xbox, the new consoles, got nothing on how hard it is to get these graphics cards. Yeah. They've been released in September, mm-hmm. and you still can't get them. You still have to be lightning fast to pick those things up.
Yep.
So, it's going to be a while before that happens. So, mm-hmm. yeah. What else? Nintendo bought Next Level Games. Good for them. Sony has discontinued the PS4 Pro and all but one model of the PS4 in Japan. I don't think that is the case here, but CD Projekt Red is facing a class action lawsuit over the release of Cyberpunk 2077. Mm-hmm. Although, even with all the refunds, it sold 13 million copies in the first 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It was, yeah.
The hype level was that high.
Oh, it was massive.
Yeah.
It was a massive hype level. Let's do a chat room roll call here, because I haven't done that in a while. AC Wraith, A10, Casket Sharp, Commander Roots, Conciliator, Joint Effort, that's new. Nuclear Pigeons, that's a great name too. Silly Gnome 225, that seems new. Steven Van Damme at Tactus 59. Thank you guys for hanging out and watching the show with us.
Someone has to make a weapon of that now. Nuclear Pigeons.
Nuclear Pigeons?
Yeah,
that I know.
That has to be a weapon a skill or perk or something.
Yeah,
that has
nuclear
to be something
Pigeons.
Now. Yeah, send out the Nuclear Pigeons or something like that.
Nuclear Pigeons. That's just, yeah, it's fun. Have fun. Anyway, what are you going to be playing more, I guess, more Cyberpunk?
Hopefully by the next show, I'll have cleared out the side missions that I've got left over on my main character and have finished the storyline, hopefully by the end of by next show.
Yeah, I'm trying to do what you said, or at least I'm trying to expand beyond my 2-game minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to have 3 games going at once.
Yeah, it's like you probably like a... Well, like me sometimes, like I play a game and then I'm like laser focused on that for the longest stretch of time.
It's like
and
I
not
do
spreading
look,
out to all the other stuff that I've got, like the backlog of other games that I've got on my other consoles and PC, because I have Steam games now.
Yeah, I know. I treat it like I do meals.
Yeah,
I'm a guy, and I'm a person who eats one thing at a time on the plate.
Yeah, same here.
I don't. And there, it's just I go one at a time. I don't have a little bit of this and then a little bit of that and everything else. I just do like, okay, I'm going to eat this first, then I'm going to move on to this, and then I'm going to move on to this.
You say the best for last.
It depends on what it is. Sometimes you know, I guess my brain makes that connection of saving the best for last.
Yeah. But
it's not that I start with the least, you know.
Yeah.
The least.
You eat everything. You just do one at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. I just do one at a time.
That's how I do it as well. So yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And so I kind of do my games that way, with the exception, obviously, of having Destiny there.
Yeah.
Destiny's a game I'm just never going to forget how to do what I need to do in that game. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, I'm playing Assassin's Creed, I'm playing Spider-Man, and I'm playing Ghost. Mm-hmm. And that's 3 different control combinations that I got to keep in mind and keep fresh.
Yeah.
Which honestly means I need to get back to those games, because I have not played those games since last week. Mm-hmm. Again, Destiny was pretty much the main thing I was hitting this week because of Iron Banner and everything.
Yeah.
Wasn't much of a slog. I was done with it by Thursday.
Okay.
I was done with the bounties and everything I needed to do by Thursday for Iron Banner. So.
Okay. Better equipment?
It moved me up. Yeah, it moved me up. You know, it got me up there again. I don't have the stuff dropping at the level cap, but I'm so close to having that happen.
I'm not talking about the banner rewards. I'm talking Iron Banner rewards. Was equipment any better?
No,
No? Okay.
No, there was nothing.
Will it ever get any better?
There was no must. I don't know. I mean, even the look of the armor is still, they haven't updated any of that stuff since last year. I mean, they had a new expansion, but they didn't update any of that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the thing about Destiny for Iron Banner, for me anyway, was basically the reward was just not there. And the stuff you had to go through to get a decent reward was just not worth slogging through all that.
The reason is there's a quest to go through, and it's like each step of that quest has three things to do. And they're retro, well, everything except weapon kills is retroactive. So mm-hmm. when it's like control this many zones or get this many kills with your super or all this other stuff, yeah. that's over the span of you playing. But get 20 kills with a scout rifle, if you did that before you got to that step, it doesn't count. You still need to get ever how many kills with a scout. Then you need to get ever how many kills with a... What was the next one?
You give me flashbacks, man. I'm just... that stuff just...
I think hand cannon.
Me to no end.
I think hand cannon was the next one, and then after that, it was precision kills.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're done, you're finished with that quest. I did that, and that's fine. It's a triumph, but mainly it's the bounties because the bounties. There's four of them, or is there five? Anyway, they award pinnacle gear. Pinnacle mm-hmm. gear is the only way you can move up.
Yeah.
Once you hit the soft cap of the game.
Yeah.
And pinnacle gear does not come that readily available. It does. After you do three strikes, after you do three multiplayer matches, after you do three gambit matches, mm-hmm. After you run the raid, after you do all of these other little things. But with Iron Banner, there's four bounties. You complete those, boom, 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 four instantly pinnacle drops right there.
Yeah.
That move you up significantly.
Yeah.
So.
But you know the issue with me with Destiny, I hate it.
I know, it's PvP.
I hate it, and I hated PvP.
Yeah,
I guess. It wasn't worth going through that to get that stuff.
Trust me, in parts it was a slog, but I got through it. So, but that also means that hopefully by the time Iron Banner rolls back around,
yeah,
I won't have to play it. Mm. I'll be at a point where it's like, I just need one item. I'm not going to sit here and go through all of this Iron Banner stuff just to have one item drop, mm-hmm. you know? But when I'm down and I need like four, I'm fine with, you know, everything they drop is going to be beneficial to me. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. You know, but once you get up to 1260, which is the premium cap, and you only need one item to finish that out to actually get you to that point, it's really hard to get sometimes. Mm-hmm. Last, before this expansion, my main character only needed a heavy weapon to drop it at the level cap, and it never would. But I was okay with it. I was like, that's fine. It's one thing. No big deal. Mm-hmm. So I was fine with it. Hey, we got to go. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room. RJ, thanks for coming back after the
no
2 weeks in here. Everybody listening on the stream, we do appreciate it. Everybody that listens on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter and Facebook. We're all over the place. YouTube, subscribe to us there. This is going to go back up there. Pick us up on the podcast thing on Apple or on iTunes or whatever. I guess I should look into putting us on Spotify. I don't know how to do that, but I'll try and figure it out. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. And you haven't, that's fine. We've got all this stuff out here. I just want to thank everybody for showing up. I'm going to leave you here with music from Super Meat Boy Forever. It's called Nobody's... It's spelled G-Y-R-O, which I guess means nobody's Eero. Is that how it's supposed to pronounce?
Gyro?
I would say gyro, but see, when you talk about... It's that sandwich, right?
Yeah.
But I've heard them pronounced differently. I've heard gyros,
Gyro, Giro.
Eeros, Giros.
Meat sandwich.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice little play on words. You guys have a great time. We'll see you next Saturday. Casket Sharp, I'll see you soon.